And take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15 tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, we're talking about the importance of the resurrection. Continue on that theme tonight. Tonight we want to look at the consequences of the resurrection. We're going to begin with verse number 25 that we left off with last week. Well, let's verse 24 and 25, excuse me. Verse 24 says, Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. Now, verse 25, 1 Corinthians 15, 25, he says, For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. And then it says in verse 26, and here's where we pick up, is that the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Now see, one of the consequences of the resurrection is there will be the destruction of death. Amen. You know, some of you got loved ones, maybe spouses that are in glory, and death was a something that was really hard on you when it took place. And I know that death of family members is very, very rough. But one of these days, there's going to be no more death or dying. And that's going to be the last enemy that God puts down. When He raises us up from the grave, there will be no more death, no more dying. And there will be the victory of Christ. Look at verse 27. It says, For he hath put all things under his feet, but when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. So here we see God the Father is going to put all things under Christ, of course, except Him Himself. And this will fulfill Psalm 110, verse number 1. The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. We know that Satan and his demons, they got an end coming, don't they? This wicked world that's wrapped up in sin and that rejects Christ, they've got an end. And the end is going to come. And the plan of redemption, all these things will be done that God may be all in all. The plan of redemption will be fully completed, and there will no longer be the various offices needed of Father, Son, and Spirit, but God will still be triune. And that right now, we see the operations. We'll just be in the presence of God, amen. And we see. Look at verse number 29. Verse 29. He says, "Else what shall they do which are baptized for the dead, if the dead rise not at all? Why are they then baptized for the dead?" And now, don't get confused by this passage of Scripture. There's a cult that has taken that passage and they have pulled it out of context and they have made a whole doctrine whereby they people that are alive get baptized for dead people. You know, they'll find somebody in their past. And that's why the Mormon church is so involved in genealogy. Have you noticed that they hold genealogy classes and they're really interested in genealogy? Well, they try to find their ancestors, their people in their family who died without being baptized, and they go and have services whereby they are baptized for the dead. It's a strange doctrine, but that's not what this is teaching. Okay, not at all. Baptism is meaningful. Baptism is a picture. Our picture of what happens to us on the inside. You know, we are buried with Him in baptism. We died in Christ. We're buried with Him in baptism. We're raised to walk in newness of life. We now have life that comes from Christ. Now, this verse anticipates those who will be baptized through the years to take the place of those who have died. Okay? The next generation is going to come on the scene. And they'll be led to Christ, and they'll be baptized, and they'll be in our place if the Lord tarries His coming. I mean, we have replaced some in the past. We're standing in the place, and we're carrying on the ministry. We're carrying out the church. You could say that we've been baptized. we're standing in the place of those that were dead before us. Baptism identifies believers with the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. If the resurrection is not a reality, then why are people baptized? I mean, every time I baptize somebody, they, buried with Him in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life, and, it's a picture of not only our present condition as far as we are new creature in Christ Jesus, but also is that resurrection of the dead. We are identified to His resurrection. He is alive to die no more. And there's going to come a time in our lives when we're going to be raised from the dead to die no more. Amen? And if the resurrection is not a reality, then the baptism, why do you do it? Baptism would be a lie. But we see that Paul saw that his suffering was worthwhile. Notice verse 30. He says, why stand we in jeopardy every hour? If there's no resurrection, why would you put your life on the line for the cause of Christ? Why would anybody put their life on the line? And Paul hazarded his life daily. In fact, he put it this way, and look at verse number 30 and 31. It says that, why stand we in jeopardy every hour? If people were looking for him to try to do him in, and he felt like he was a wanted man. It's like he got a target on his back, right? Look at verse 31. He says, I protest by your rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. He says, I die daily. He was able to do what he did because he was not living his life. He considered himself dead anyway. And that he was going to live with Christ. But Paul's suffering was worthwhile. Notice verse 32. He says, if after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage is it me if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. And that's what I said as we were beginning to take a look at this. If the resurrection's not true, Christ did not arise from the grave. If there is no resurrection of the dead, if all we got to look forward to is the grave, well, let's go live it up. Let's forget about all this and just go and live it up. No, you don't do that. Why? Because you want a better resurrection. Amen. And a better resurrection comes by living the time that you have here in that resurrected life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Allowing Him to live His life through you gives you a better resurrection. Now, we see that Paul's suffering was worthwhile. His life was in constant jeopardy. He says that he died daily, and his fighting has been to no advantage if the resurrection is not a reality. Now, we see him giving a warning against sinful living because of the resurrection. Notice verse 33. He said, now, be not deceived. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Hey, awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Now, he was saying, don't allow evil messages to corrupt you. Paul was concerned about false messages concerning the resurrection. And doctrine is important, and it's important that we teach right doctrine, because wrong doctrine brings forth wrong living. Right doctrine brings forth right living. In Proverbs 13, verse number 20, it says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. We need to make sure we walk in with those that are wise. Amen. not walking with the foolish. And we see that there's another passage of Scripture in Ephesians 4, verse 29, that talk about the matter of corrupt communication coming out of your mouth. And it says in Ephesians 4, 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. So we ought to guard our lips, amen. We ought to watch what we say and make sure that we're building up and not tearing down. Paul was concerned about false messages concerning the resurrection, and he had this message. He said, there, awake to righteousness and sin not. Listen, a knowledge of God and a good knowledge of right Bible doctrine leads to righteous living. And that's why he said, you know, wake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. And he said, I speak this to your shame. They should have been walking better than what they were walking. What was the problem? Well, they weren't receiving the Bible doctrine the way they should be receiving it. They weren't putting it into practice. Now, the resurrection points out the very important fact that death does not end life. There is life to follow. Amen. And we see the manner of the resurrection. Now, some of them were real confused about this matter of the resurrection, which you may be confused a little bit about. Well, you know, you've got some questions about, well, what is life after death going to be like? I don't have all the answers, but we do have some of the answers that are given right here. Amen. Take a look here at verse number 35. He says, but some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Well, you know, some good questions. And he said, thou fool. what you asked the Apostle Paul, amen. Thou fool. April Fool's Day today, by the way. Hope nobody got caught. With all that foolishness. Talked about that Sunday night. But thou fool, he says, that which thou sowest is not quickened, except it die. You know? You can't make something alive that's not dead yet, can you? That's a good point. But we see the manner of the resurrection. The resurrection is illustrated here by various types of life in nature. The question is proposed as to what type of resurrection body there will be. Well, the first thing you wanted to see was that death must precede life. Now, and we see the illustration of plant life that he gave in verse 37 and 38. He says, and that which thou sowest not that body, think of a seed, that shall be but bare grain. It may be chance of wheat or some other grain. You know, think about planting corn or planting wheat, or planting some seed of something like that. He says, that has got to die before it's going to come up in life. You don't plant a green anything. It's got to be dry and dead before you plant it. And he says, but in verse 38, but God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. You know, what you plant, it's not really, I mean, you plant that seed, but you got, it may come up in ears, like corn. It may come in different manners of how it grows there. But God's the one that gives it as it pleased him, to every seed his own body. And I'm glad God gave us food, amen. I like to eat, and I'm sure most of you do too. And it's good stuff. But God's the one that gave us that. Praise him for that. But God gives each seed an appropriate body. Now, he talks about different types of animal flesh there in verse 39. And this is good understanding here. All flesh is not the same flesh. But there's one kind of flesh of men, another kind of flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. I think we can all figure that out pretty well. You know, there's different types of flesh. But then he also talks about there are various types of geological bodies. In verse 40 and 41, he says, there are also celestial bodies, talking about up in the sky, heavenly bodies. Think of planets, think of stars, think of the moons, They're celestial bodies, and there are bodies terrestrial. That's here on the earth. Different kind of bodies. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. It's all glorious. Amen? God made it all glorious. Just amazed. I love to watch the things of where they show the planets and show these pictures from deep in outer space where the Hubble telescope and all these different ships have gone, and they shoot back the film to the earth. It takes a while for it to get back. Shoots back the pictures back. But you see the glory of God manifested in those pictures. What a wonderful thing. And we can look around here on the earth. And when you examine nature, you understand the greatness of God. You understand, you know, God's given a glory. There's a glory to those heavenly bodies, but there's a glory to the earthly ones too. It just amazes me the variety that God has created. But he's talking about there's a different type of glory. There's a celestial glory. There's a terrestrial glory. But and he goes on to further say there's one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon. There's a different glory even among the celestial bodies. Another glory of the stars. He says, for one star differeth from another star in glory. Yeah. You know, it's not like you've seen one planet, you've seen them all. You know, they're all different, aren't they? One star is different than another. And just think of the many, many heavenly bodies that there are. They don't even know how many there are. There are trillions upon trillions of stars. They haven't seen all of it yet. But he says in verse 42, he says, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. Now we know that our bodies, you know, these bodies that we have been corrupted by sin. Amen? Been corrupted by sin. And with sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. There's not one of us that were born without corruption. We were all in Adam. Corruption comes from Adam. As in Adam, all die. But we were sown in corruption, but it's going to be raised. When we're raised up, we're going to be raised up in incorruption. And that's of necessity because corruption can't go to glory and be in the presence of God. God's going to have to change us. Amen. Earthly bodies must be changed. Sown in corruption, but raised in incorruption. We see there in verse 43. Said it's sown in dishonor. You know, there's not a one of us that have not dishonored God at some point. We bring dishonor to ourselves. We bring dishonor to sometimes our family. We bring dishonor to God. We were sown. It's because of that sin nature. It's sown in dishonor. He said, but it is raised in glory. There's one of these days that dishonor is going to be gone. You're going to honor God in all that you do and say. You're going to have a glorious nature just like him. It's sown in weakness. What of us, you know, even the strongest among us are weak. The strongest person, I guarantee you, he's got a weakness somewhere. And he's sown in weakness, but is raised in power. And that power is that resurrection power of God. Amen. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. Now, here's where we're getting to some things that I got to just tell you, don't understand it all, but it sounds really good. You think about Jesus' spiritual body. Now, he arose from the grave bodily. It was a bodily resurrection. It wasn't just a spirit resurrected. He arose from the grave bodily. But that body that he arose with was a spiritual body. It was able to walk through doors. He didn't need a door. He could just walk through the wall. Amen. And I don't understand that. You know, we see it on TV and we know we can't do that. And we know that nobody else can do that. Jesus could after he rose from the grave. It's a different kind of body. He said, there's a natural body and there's a spiritual body. We can look in scriptures and we can tell when Jesus just walked through the doors and they weren't opened up. That just ain't natural. That ain't natural. Natural body's got to turn that door handle and go through. That's a natural body, man. But the spiritual body, don't need that door handle there. And don't understand it all, but I believe it. Amen. Verse 45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. And the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. We know that there in Genesis, God breathed into man's nostrils and man became a living soul. God formed us of the dust of the ground. And, you know, that's amazing in itself. When you think about, you know, somebody comes up with a question, well, how's God going to get all this dirt, you know, that we turn back into? How's He going to bring it all back together into a body? I don't know, but I can tell you, the one that can just form it from the dirt, you know, He has no problem getting it back in its form. He's just speaking it done. In fact, you're going to shout. He's going to shout, and it's going to happen. Amen. Look at the verse 46. He says, howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural. In other words, we didn't get the spiritual body first. We got the natural body. And afterward, that which is spiritual. Now, we didn't come into this world with a spiritual body because we didn't have spiritual life. Yeah. You have to be quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Couldn't even rightly relate to God. Wasn't much spiritual about us, really. Verse 47. The first man is of the earth, earthy. I think we can understand that. We are of the earth. We're just a glorified dirt ball. You know? And boy, God did a good job with that dirt, didn't He? He did. Yeah. Adam messed it up for us. It'd be a lot more glorious than it is, but it's a glorious thing. Even though we got to put folks on the prayer list because of the sin, what sin has done to man. When you take a look at the human body and what it accomplishes and how God has made it, it's just a wonderful thing. First man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is of the Lord from heaven. You know, we're going to be like Him. Yeah. Second man is the Lord from heaven. Verse 48. As the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And we're just like Adam. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. You know, we were like Adam. One of these days we're going to be just like Christ. Have that heavenly body. The earthly body will be changed. He says there in verse 49, brings it to a head right here. He says, and as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. And something's got to be done. Flesh and blood is not going to go up there, because this flesh and blood is corrupt to the core. Well, what's going to happen? He's going to change it. Death is necessary for a change. He says there in verse 51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. Talking about sleeping in the grave. Talking about death. But we shall all be changed. And really, that is a form of death in itself. You're going to be separated from this, the life as you know it. Okay? And some people want to argue, well, not everybody's going to die, so the Bible must be contradicting itself. No, we're not going to sleep in the grave, and we're not going to die a death like folks normally die, but we are going to be separated from this flesh. It's going to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. That's what he says, right? Notice what he says. Shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling, verse 52, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Okay, the dead, those that are already dead in Christ, are going to be raised incorruptible. You go open that grave right now, and you ain't nothing but corruption in there. It's nasty. You don't want to open that grave. But that's going to be raised incorruptible. And we shall be changed. You know, we're nasty too. Even though we're alive and breathing, we're nasty. Notice verse 53. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal, mortal means you die. This mortal must put on immortality, that which does not die. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. That's that last thing that's going to be conquered right there. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Victory is wrought in Christ. It says there in verse 57, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's a good place to let off at. We'll come back and take a look at the relationship of the resurrection to Christian service. Verse 58 there. And then we'll move on into chapter number 16. Amen. I know you may still have some questions. I still got some questions too. You know, I got to tell you, our questions are going to be answered by and by. Just stick around, and the Lord will change us in due time. All right, let's pray for the needs on our prayer list tonight as we're dismissed.